ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus, they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hands on end. Bodily hairs are standing on end due to the cold at the moment. Purport. The word aghogaharam is very significant in this verse. Agha refers to that which is inauspicious or sinful. The living entity is actually Satchit Ananda Vigraha, or eternal and full of bliss and knowledge, but by neglecting his eternal relationship with Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he commits sinful activities and undergoes the inauspicious result in the form of material suffering. The chain of sinful reactions is called oha, or a relentless wave of suffering. Krishna is aghoga haram harim. He takes away the sinful reactions of his devotees, who are thus entitled to experience the inconceivable bliss of the kingdom of God even while remaining in this world. The words bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya indicate that there are two divisions of Bhakti Yoga: Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained in his book, The Nectar of Devotion, the progress of the devotee from Sadhana Bhakti, or the execution of regulated principles, to Raganuga Bhakti, or service executed in love of Godhead. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a liberated soul is always enthusiastic due to the appearance of transcendental ecstasy within his body. Thus, he always aspires to remain overwhelmed in chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead, Hari. In this verse, two lines appear, two pathas, as they're called, which are fairly commonly known and quoted, not very commonly, they're not very well known, but they're, excuse me, sometimes quoted, this smaranta smarayantas cha. What are the devotees doing? They're remembering Krishna and causing others to remember. The simple English word is to remind. So, smanta smaryanta stra agha oga harim. Agha oga haram harim. Who do they remember? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Hari, who takes away all the inauspicious things from a devotee. And then, so this Smaranta Smaryanta Swami is well known. And another very well known is Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. That bhakti gives rise to bhakti. So here it's been suggested that this indicates that bhakti in the stage of following the rules and regulations by the sadhana bhakti, that gives rise to the higher level of raganuga bhakti, in which vibhrat utkula kam tanum, in which one aspires for one's spiritual body to exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on them. Of course, one aspires for that even within Vaidhi Bhakti, so following the rules and regulations of spiritual life. But in Raghunoga Bhakti, especially the Lolyam or Lala Samayi Pratana, the Lolyam is a strong desire, Lala Samayi Pratana, prayer, which is full of longing, then one begins to adopt this mood of not just formally or officially serving the Lord, but with great feeling, calling out to Him and serving Him. And this is the only price to attain Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatram lolyam api mulyam ekalam koti janma sukritaya na labhyate. This Rupa Goswami has given the clue. How can we get bhakti? What do we have to do? We have the Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. This is definition of bhakti. Bhakti can be defined in various ways. Bhakti means that the consciousness will be overflooded with the Krishna bhakti ras. And he states that, of course, that's maybe not a definition, because it's defining, giving the definition. Anyway, he speaks of the consciousness which is overflooded with this Krishna bhakti ras. And he states that if you can purchase this anywhere, purchase it, buy it. He's giving a recommendation. It's like they have recommendations that a cricket star recommends Pepsi Cola or something like this. It's a recommendation, and people think, oh, he said it, okay, I should do so. Of course, he's doing that for money. He doesn't give a damn for Pepsi Cola, or of course he might not get himself. Not that much that he'd have his picture plastered everywhere. It's not voluntarily that he's recommending Pepsi, but he does so to get some money. But the idea is that because the cricket star is someone who is appreciated and recognized by others, so his recommendation that carries more weight, that people take it seriously. It could be any person in the advertisement saying, drink Pepsi, but because it's a recognized person, therefore people tend to take it more seriously. So the same principle applies, even though this verse, because anyone, not anyone, but one who's versed in Sanskrit, they can compose verses, which is why we don't necessarily take seriously any verse which anyone says. But we see, there is the Mool Shastra that is called Shruti. That is Veda Narayanam Sakshat. that is directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is also Smriti Shastra, that which is not directly spoken by the Lord, or not directly the Vedas, actually it is the Vedas, but it's not part of the... There's originally one Veda and then that's divided into four, so it's not part of the four Vedas which are considered original and whose form is unchangeable. But there's also Smriti Shastra, which is composed later by great personalities, rishis and munis and Manu. Manu Samhita is most important among the shastras which are specifically called Smriti Shastras. So these are considered as good as Shruti because they follow the same principle as Shruti, and it's accepted that even though the Lord doesn't directly speak them, but he directly speaks to the munis and rishis. He reveals that knowledge. Just like to Brahma, Tene Brahma Hridaya Alika Vihe. This Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed knowledge within the heart to Brahma. So we have the Brahma Samhita. Brahma means that which is given by Brahma. So Brahma Samhita, that is... that is given by Lord Brahma, and that is accepted as good as Shruti because it's accepted that it is revealed within the heart of Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So, Rupa Goswami's statements, they can be considered Smriti because certainly Rupa Goswami is on the same level as the great rishis who have compiled what is considered the general body of Smriti Shastra. But specifically that is accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas because they accept him as an authority. That point that we accept a cricket star as an authority. So it's the same principle but on a much more sublime platform that we accept Rupa Goswami as an authority. So, he says, buy it. He's not saying buy Pepsi. He's not saying buy whatever nonsense things they're marketing. But this is the topmost attainable principle that Krishna Vishaya Prema Param Purushartha. It is the topmost attainable principle that is this love of Krishna that transcends or is better than anything that can be attained through the paths of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. In fact, whatever may be attained through dharma, artha, kama and moksha is compared to this param purushartha, Krishna Vishaya Prema, Krishna, or briefly Krishna Prema. Jara Age Chuna Tulla Chari Purushartha. And everything else in comparison to this is insignificant. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami says, considering that everything else in this world compared to Krishna Prema is insignificant, buy it. By any means. Wherever it is available, find it out and buy it. Just like there may be some rare product which is considered very valuable. So someone who knows the value of that, they will search it out and try to find it. If there's some particular brand of medicine which people know is very good, there may be so many other varieties available, just like, for instance, some Chyawanprash. There are so many different companies which make it. But if one happens to consider that one particular brand is far superior to others, then you will take the trouble to search it out And you go to so many different shops and they'll say, well, we have Dabur Chavan Prash, no, I don't want that. And we have Zandu Chavan Prash, no, I don't want that. And as well as Chavan Prash, no, but we don't want this. We want this particular one. And then they'll search it out and find it. And they won't be satisfied unless they get that particular one. Or there is some aphrodisiac, which is, that is, produced from rhinoceros horn. So it's not a very easy thing to get, but people consider it very highly because they're interested in sex. So, certain persons would, at great risk, no doubt, they go rhinoceros hunting. It's great risk because the rhinoceros, instead of the rhinoceros being the prey, you might become the prey of the rhinoceros. Instead of you getting the rhinoceros horn in your back, you might get it right in your stomach. So it's dangerous in that way. It's also dangerous because it's illegal and you might get caught. And if you get caught then doing that, then if you get caught before you kill the rhinoceros, then you just have to pay a fine or go to prison. If you get caught after killing the rhinoceros, then you have to share some of the profits with the person, with the legal officer who caught you. So in this way, it's not very easy to do, but people, they take all risk to hunt the rhinoceros because there are very great returns. You get a lot of money by getting the rhinoceros horn. So in the same way, Guru Goswami says, Kriyatam yadi kitobi abhyate. Wherever it's available, somehow or other, find it out. Instead, you have to find the rhinoceros. Where is the rhinoceros? It's not like going, even if you're searching in a shop, you have a fairly good idea it's in the shop, but where to find the rhinoceros? It's not so difficult, not so easy. Somehow you have to find, and then you have to get it. So in the same way, Rupa Goswami says, somehow or other, we should try to find that wherever Katopina Pita, wherever it is available, it should be bought. Kriyatam, it should be bought. Then what is the price? What do we have to do? If it's a matter of buying Chavan Prash, you simply give the money. If it's a matter of killing the rhinoceros, you have to shoot them. It's easier said than done because they have a thick hide. It's so thick, it's like an army tank. So simply shooting it with a bullet, that one is just bounce off, the rhinoceros will laugh at you. So the only way to shoot a rhinoceros is right between the eyes, but then he'll, when he's charging at you, you have to shoot and he has to be accurate. Otherwise, instead of killing the rhinoceros, it's more likely that he'll kill you. So, what is the price? It's such a wonderful thing and such a very rare thing, we can imagine that there is some risk involved or something very great has to be given, but Rupa Goswami says that loyam tasya mulyam apimulyam tasya loyam apimulyam ekam. The only one price, there is only one price, and that is a very strong desire to attain it. Greed, I must get it. Very overwhelming desire. That Rupa Goswami gives another example of the where's that verse? Yoga Yogatis. Yogatinam yata yuto. You know, yes. That he prays to the Supreme Lord that may my desire for you, he gives the example just like a young boy and a young girl, when they come together, there's a very strong desire for each other. So he gives that example. It's a re-reflection of the perverted reflection. Feelings of a young boy for a young girl, that is a perverted reflection of Krishna's feelings of his, of these feelings for Srimati Radharani and for the different, these different Shaktis, into this, Rukmini and queens, and strong feelings, and the feelings that he had for them, the feelings that he had for Krishna, the feelings Krishna's queens, Radharani and the Gopis and for Krishna. So a perverted reflection of that is the feelings that a young boy and a young girl have reached, a very strong feeling. I can't live without you, and there are so many cases of suicide, and they write so many books. If I can't live without you. And the proof is given that when they're, okay, you're not allowed to be with this young boy or young girl, and then suicide. Stupid. But, and people write, there are so many love stories. In Sanskrit also, it's not that it's only Shastra in Sanskrit, but there are so many kavyas, or poems, it's just bhutik, lokik, ordinary love stories. There's a famous, very famous drama, poem by Kalidas, Abhinav Shakuntala. Of course, it's taken from Shastra, Mahabharata, but it's presented simply as a, just some mundane love story. Once Prabhupada was asked that, you never told anything about Nala Maharaj. Prabhupada said, we don't have anything to do with Nala Maharaj. It's a famous story in Mahabharata, which inculcates the sense of how a woman, she should be pati-vrata-nari, she should be very attached to her husband. There are various such stories in Satyavan, Savitri, so in Mahabharata. And another one very famous is Nala Damayanti. So someone was saying to Prabhupada, you never spoke about Nala Maharaj. We don't have anything to do with Nala Maharaj. It's a religious principle that works there in Mahabharata, that one should be pativrata. But it's Prabhupada, he also states this principle. One should be means a wife should be. Prabhupada states this principle, but he doesn't tell the whole long story of Nala and Dhamma, because he's telling Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Purana Namalam, in which that's also, that principle is also stated, but not in great length, a great love story of how they love each other, and then the personality of Kali enters Nala, you see, and his mind becomes polluted, and he abandons his wife, and then there's a long story, eventually she's reunited with him, and they live happily ever after, something like that. So, this mundane love story is a perverted reflection of the actual love story in the spiritual world, but Rupa Goswami takes that example to say how we should be taking the perverted reflection to show that we can see in this world, how he desires, he prays to Krishna, that may I be attached to you, just as a young boy is attached to a young girl, or vice versa. And we should be very careful of this mundane infatuation, which blinds the conditioned soul, but rather our infatuation should be for Krishna. If we have the very strong feeling, eating, sleeping, or maybe not even eating or sleeping, because can't eat or sleep, because thinking of my girlfriend. So that we see. Also, great devotees, Nidrahara Vihara Kali Jito, they conquered over eating and sleeping, the six verse round. They stopped eating and sleeping. It wasn't that they were trying to stay awake during class or any such thing, but they couldn't sleep, because they didn't think of sleeping, because they were so much absorbed in love of Krishna. You have very strong emotions, you can't sleep. If someone very close to you get the news, dies, get the news, open the telegram, oh, your father died. Oh, okay, well, I'll go to sleep. It doesn't happen. It's affected by it. So, like that, in Krishna praying, one is so much, or you can't, if you're very much disturbed by something, if you're very busy, you have something to do, you can, or something you consider very important, or if you're absorbed in reading a book or some such thing, then you don't feel like eating. You just forget it, that's all. So in the same way, the Sukh Goswamis of Vrindavan, they've given us an example of devotees who overcame eating and sleeping. Overcame not by any yogic process of artificially controlling the senses, but simply by being absorbed in the overwhelming feeling, which were the gopi bhava rasana tadila harini, the constant waves of the emotional feelings of the gopis for Krishna, He Radhe, Rajadeviki, Chalavate, Hinanda Sun Kuta. This they're absorbed in this feeling, in this, where is Krishna? Where is Radha? Where is Radha? They're feeling like this. So, in this way, a very strong feeling for Krishna, very strong feeling. So that technique we're discussing, that is technically called Radha Nikamati, in which the very strong feelings for Krishna, that is the basis of one's bhakti. That is the substance of one's bhakti. Whereas in Vaidhi bhakti, the rules and regulations are the basis, because one is not fixed in feelings for Krishna. Some feelings may be there, otherwise why would one be taking up bhakti at all? Presumably there's some feeling for Krishna, unless one is very materialistic. Hare Krishna. Please don't lean on this. This is Ananta Balaram, this stanga, not for us to lean on. So, some feelings are there, but the basis has to be rules and regulations, because the feelings for Krishna are not strong enough to maintain us. In devotional service 24 hours a day, therefore the rules and regulations are there to maintain us in devotional service 24 hours a day. That helps us to, because we're not fixed in smartagya satyatam vishnus, vismartagya na jayate chit, because we're not fixed in always thinking Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. Therefore we have a fixed program of sadhana, that we follow this, we should, that will keep us always engaged, and this affects our remembrance of Krishna. So the sadhana bhakti, the vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and radha mula sadhana bhakti, which is sadhana means still one is in the stage of practice, but practicing, following in the stage, following in the footsteps of those whose bhakti is by its very substance full of feelings. So this is mentioned here in this verse, bhaktya sanjate bhaktya. Bhakti in the stage of following rules and regulations, that gives rise to bhakti. Anyway, let's go back to the tantra. Lola happy mulanikwa, yes, so to following the rules and regulations, that is supposed to give rise to feelings for Krishna. Just like we're told to chant Hare Krishna. That is the basic vidhi or rule in Vaidhi Bhakti. We must chant a minimum number of rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. But it's, why is that? Because Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Eto Shubhav Jai Jabe Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. Because by chanting the names of Krishna, feelings for Krishna will arise within the heart. So that feeling, feeling that should be developed, and when that becomes a very strong greed, I must get Krishna. Whatever I do, Kenivo, Lutivo, Harinama Rasa, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, in his song, he gives the, I must get that Harinama Rasa, I'll buy it, I'll steal it, by whatever means, I must attain the Harinama Rasa, the taste in chanting the holy name. Gauri Chaudhary Babaji Maharaj was certainly perfect in chanting the holy names, but sometimes, because Krishna, he will reveal himself as he likes, even to perfect devotees, it may be that Krishna may hide himself from them sometimes. So sometimes, Gauri Chaudhary Babaji Maharaj was chanting and chanting the holy names, and he felt that the Haranama Smriti Holona, the Naam, the holy name didn't manifest to me. So then in frustration he would simply submerge himself in the Ganga for sometimes days on end. And until I get this taste for the holy name, I say, Krishna, why don't you come to me? So this is practically madness in love of God. So that feeling of great greed, one practically becomes like a madman. It's like the lover becomes a madman. He does crazy things out of love. He'll climb up there. She's the heroine is kept in a tower somewhere. These are love stories. So he, at great risk, he climbs up with the wind and the rain blowing and all these things. Somehow he does crazy things. Out of craziness, he can't think properly, so, because he's overwhelmed by love. So, in the same way, a devotee, he becomes almost crazy in love with Krishna. That is also stated here in this 11th canto of Bhagavata. Ivam vrata sukriyanam kirtya jatam rago dutta chitta vichaya. That when one has jata anuraga, when one's feelings for Krishna are awakened, then he chants the holy name very loudly, as if just not caring for others. Hasaptati, rodati, nirtati. He laughs, he cries, he dances. He doesn't care what other people think. Madness of God. So, this Lola Mekalam. Janma Koti Sukritayana Labhyate. This is the only praise. There's this very strong desire to attain Krishna that cannot be had even by performing mundane pious activities over millions of lifetimes. One cannot attain love of Krishna, but one has to have a very strong desire. So how to get that? Well, here it said, bhaktya sanjateyam, bhaktya sanjateyam, bhaktya. That bhakti gives rise to bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti. This bhakti is in Sri Thakur, as explained in the Bible. Vaidhi bhakti leads to this raganoga bhakti, in which raganoga means that one's desire to attain such feelings for Krishna are becoming very strong. He's not fixed in raga, in strong feelings for Krishna, but he a very definite desire to attain them. So, this is possible if one follows the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, which, because Vaidhi Bhakti, that we follow this rule, you should chant. Well, chanting, that brings us in association with Krishna, and by chanting, feelings for Krishna arouse. By serving Krishna, by chanting his names, all the rules and regulations, they are given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who himself says that they're all centered on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this hearing and chanting, that gives rise to feelings for Krishna. That the whole series of verses is there in Bhagavatam. Shrimpatam Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana. This punya, this is not mundane punya. But this is transcendental punya. By hearing about Krishna, the dirty things in the heart are cleared away. And then one becomes steady in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then one becomes fixed in bhakti yoga. There's a whole series of verses to explain that. So hearing and chanting, this is the essence of Vaidhi Bhakti. But then again, it's also stated that simply following the rules and regulations in itself will not give bhakti. So this appears to be contradictory. Here, Bhaktis Dansa Swaktakar is saying that Vaidhi Bhakti, that leads to Raga Nuga Bhakti, which leads to Krishna Prem. Fully fledged Krishna Prem, which is the goal of, ultimate goal of life, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly has come to teach, Unatanjala Rasa. Especially the loving feelings of the Raja Vadhu Varagina Ya Kalpita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially so many great Vaishnavas came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they taught love of Krishna. But especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught love of Krishna following in the footsteps of the damsels of Vrindavan, which Swarupa Damodara Goswami has described as Unatajvala Rasa, resplendent, top, resplendent love of God. This Rupa Goswami calls that Ujvala Rasa, Shringara Rasa, Madhurya Rasa, three different names for this. Unatajvala Rasa. Ujvala Rasa, that is that between the Krishna and his lovers, but specifically Unatajvala, even more than between Krishna and his lovers, specifically means those in Vrindavan, so it's a very confidential topic. How is that to be obtained? Not through Vaidhi Bhakti, says Rupa Goswami. Through Vaidhi Bhakti, says Bhakti Sarasvataka. So is Bhaktisiddhanta Chaitanya contradicting Rupa Goswami? Certainly not. It should be understood like this, that in Vaidhi Bhakti, one of the principal rules, and one that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated as one of the five most important principles in Hari Bhakti, in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, or in any stage of Bhakti, is sadhu sangha, associating with devotees. So that's also one of the rules, but if one follows all the other rules but doesn't associate particularly with advanced devotees, then the necessary advancement will not take place, because those who are perfect devotees, they have the quality of smarantas smaryantas cha. Personally, they always remember Krishna. They don't undertake any sadhana to do so, but they automatically remember Krishna. They cannot forget, just like a young boy who's fallen in love with a young girl, he cannot forget her. So the perfect devotees, they always remember Krishna. And their kirtan is very powerful. As Prabhupada said, chanting should be heard from the lips of the pure devotee. Because the pure devotees, their chanting of the holy names is imbued with pure love of Krishna. Whereas, on the opposite end of the spectrum, someone who is selling mantras, professional gurus, that you have to I'll initiate you, but you have to give me this much dakshina. and I come down every year and collect the dakshinas. There are professional gurus who do like this. So they cannot, their giving of the name of Krishna is not giving the name of Krishna. They're giving mantras, dead mantras. There's no life in them. Because they themselves don't have any life or love of Krishna. They don't have any proper contact with Krishna themselves. So they're giving the name of Krishna. It's not giving the name of Krishna. It's a perverted reflection of giving the name of Krishna. They cannot give Krishna. Who can give Krishna? Krishna Sri Toma, Krishna Dite Paro, Toma Rashakatanji. Who is that? That is the, who is the pure devotee who has the power to give Krishna? Only one who has been deputed by Krishna, authorized by Krishna to give Krishna. Krishna is not a commodity that can be sold in the marketplace. Therefore, when Rupa Goswami says to buy love of Krishna, it doesn't mean that you'll give 1 lakh, 2 lakhs. I bought love of Krishna. I went to the bazaar and we bought some deities. Very cheap. We bought Radha Krishna deities only 300 rupees. You can buy Radha and Krishna for 300 rupees. Or our deity of Radharani got stolen, but anyway, never mind. We replaced Radharani or something like this. The deity is not an item who can be bought or sold. Nor the holy name cannot be bought or sold. But those who are imbued with love of Krishna, they can give Krishna. One cannot purchase, this word is used by Rupa Goswami, that is a simile. Actually, one cannot purchase love of Krishna. Not in the sense of giving money, but if one purchases the heart of a pure devotee by his loving, by his service attitude, then that devotee will give Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am purchased. He said, I have become the property of my devotees. So, one who has got Krishna, not by any formal method, you can give Krishna. So such devotees, they automatically remember Krishna. They're not making a show of the deity so they can collect some money so they can buy a TV. But their heart is overflooded with Krishna and smaranta smaryantas. Their kirtan is automatic because within their heart is Krishna. Tomara hridaye shada govinda visham. The Govinda is always manifest within the heart of such devotees, and because devotees are overwhelmed with love of Krishna, therefore they always, from their heart, kirtan manifests. Kirtan is not manifest from the tongue. Even a parrot has a tongue and can chant Hare Krishna. But real kirtan is manifested from the heart of a pure devotee. Automatic glorification of Krishna. So if one comes in contact with such a devotee, then automatically that devotee will remind him of Krishna. Because he's overwhelmed with love of Krishna. Krishna praying, dite nite dhare mahasham. Said about the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all have tremendous potency to receive and give love of Krishna. So we are advised to associate with such devotees, and the association with such devotees is that key or secret which makes the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti perfect. That is the chanting, the hearing, the serving, but everything that will come to life. Vaidhi means following vidhi, rules and regulations. In rules and regulations there's a tendency to be mechanical. And often devotees ask, well, then how can we not be mechanical? How can we overcome this mechanical kind of just following rules and regulations? They should say, well, if we associate with those who are not doing it mechanically, but who are jata anuragas, whose taste for Krishna consciousness has awakened, then by their association, we shall also gain taste. And that gaining a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and that is the entrance into pure devotional service, which is characterized by pure loving feelings for Krishna, and that external characteristic of that is not just feeling, but that manifests as ahoituki pratihata, unmotivated, constant, unstopped, unstoppable devotional service to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
You said that Krishna doesn't interfere with us with dependent desire, free will.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, in the new songs, great acharyas.
Just one thing, it would be good. Who's temple here? Temple's temple. It would be good to have a cordless mic for question. I guess usually there's only about 3 people in the class. Is it? How many usually in the morning class? 10? 15? Like that? Yeah? No one knows.
4.
4 of them. Yeah, so you don't need it usually.
But we hear from acharyas the songs that they are praying. Krishna, please purify my desires.
So, please what?
Purify my desires.
Please purify my desires.
Krishna, purify our desires. In the desire process, we are not just independent. We depend on Krishna very much in the desire process itself.
But what's the question?
Like you said that
Krishna does not interfere with our independence. So that doesn't mean that he doesn't necessarily interfere with our desires. Because if we pray to him that you please purify, you please, you're sitting within my heart, you please purify my desire. Or if we apply ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, Shrindatam Svatata Krishna, we choose to hear about Krishna, which we know is purifying. Or we ask Krishna that you purify me. Murkera mongal tumi ambeshi. That you, I'm a fool. I don't even know what's good for me. You work it out. You decide. You do it. So that's, we're praying that Krishna doesn't force us to pray to him or to take the devotional service. But if we do so, then he will purify. We can't ourselves purify ourselves. That's the attempt of the non-devotees. They attempt to become purified without surrendering to Krishna, and as a result, that is an impurity in itself. So although they may become superficially purified by following severe programs, arukya kritrena. Kritrena means with great difficulty. Arukya, they climb up. Arukya kritrena param padam. They get up to the spiritual world, but tataha patanti adha. They fall down from them because they neglect to worship Krishna, so to speak. They go all the way up to the spiritual world, but they cannot remain there. They don't get fixed there. They have to come back because they got purified of the effects of the three modes, or the gross effects of the three modes of material nature. But the basic impurity, which is neglect of Krishna's lotus feet, they neglected to become purified of that. So they remained inherently impure despite being superficially pure. Just like you can clean the room very nicely. But if there's a rug, you don't sweep under the rug. You may clean the top of the rug very nicely, but underneath it's still dirty. So it's only a superficial cleaning. Or you may wash the body very nicely, but then if you don't pass stool, then there's some impurities inside. So, certainly we should pray to Krishna, you purify my desire. Krishna won't force us to pray like that. That's independence we have, that much of it.